Welcome to another episode of Audio Dust Jacket. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and we have a great show for you today. Today we have Sharon Drew Morgan on the show with us. Welcome, Sharon.
Hi. I'm writing a book on how to listen. The book is tentatively called Did You Really Say What I Think I Heard? And it's being published by Amacom. They have a wonderful, wonderful communication imprint. So I'll be with a lot of other excellent authors. And I'm breaking down the entire listening process at the unconscious level so that people can have choices as to how to hear accurately when what they're doing isn't working. Unfortunately, we have never been taught how to listen. And some of the excellent work by Kitty Watson in the Institute for Listening, they're working with the what and the why of listening. And they're doing a lot of great work with active listening. But I'm able to get into the unconscious processes of how our brains make those decisions to do what we do, break them apart, and give us new choices. So I'm really getting deeply, deeply into the how of how to make a new choice for listening, how to make sure we're listening accurately, how to make sure we're listening to what the person intends us to hear. And we only hear actually a very small part of what people are saying. So this should give everyone new choice, and I'm really trying to make a difference in the world so everyone can hear each other as they would prefer.
Well, that sounds absolutely amazing. I just have one question. Everyone thinks they're a great listener. Has that been a hardship for you on marketing this book, is talking to people that feel like that they already know how to listen, these older business executive CEOs?
Well, I'm just starting the writing process, which is one of the reasons I'm doing this new Kickstarter campaign to not only fund the writing project, because I've written 3 chapters of it so far. You may know this, but when you're writing a nonfiction book, you only send in the first few chapters with a very complete outline, and then they accept the book and then you sit down to write. So I'm just in the process of writing, and I'm doing a Kickstarter campaign to fund the time I'm going to be writing for the next 6 months so I can write 24/7. I'm actually inviting writers to collaborate with me to think through and brainstorm and send me dialogues and make it a creative process. But what I've heard so far from people, and I've sent them chapters, is yes, not only does everyone think they know how to listen, but people think that what's available on the market is just fine, thank you. And people don't have time to do anything different. No one's ever taught us how to listen. Every one of us listens, and they don't teach it in school. It's like breathing. People just assume we can hear. The reality is we hear such a small fraction of what somebody else is saying, and then when we get it wrong, we blame the other person. So we assume we're right and we're wrong. What we don't realize is that we're actually translating what we're hearing through so many different levels of processes and beliefs and filters and biases that we only hear a fraction. The real problem with that is we end up living according to what we can hear because we're not comfortable with someone else's style, approach, listening, speaking capability. So we're very limited by how we listen. So I'm getting a lot of pushback and feedback on it already, and I'm hoping I can learn how to say it well enough so that I don't get that level of annoyance.
Well, I think that's really important. I completely agree with you that there's also a big disconnect between people that hear people and people that actually listen and understand and can talk to people. So there's a huge communication gap. But this isn't the first book that you've written, is it?
Oh, no, this is my ninth.
Ninth, wow.
But it's the first book I'm writing as a self-help book on breaking down the listening process. Until now, most of my other books have been about this buying facilitation model that I developed that teaches sellers how to help buyers manage their buying decision path. And in my programs, I actually teach my learners, my course participants, my clients, how to listen at a meta-listening level. So I've actually been teaching a great deal of this material for 25 years. And now that I'm retiring, it's time for me to do my swan song and put this new material into the world to make a difference, not just in sales, but to give everyone everywhere the possibility of hearing another person accurately.
So what really makes this book different from, I know you said there's no other listening books out there about listening, but what sets this book apart from other business type books?
Well, let's go back. There are books on active listening, and there are books on persuasion. This is a groundbreaking book in that it's about the how. So there are no other books yet about the unconscious processes and the biases and filters and assumptions and so forth. What makes it different, I think, is that it's a hands-on learning guide, and it's fun and filled with funny stories and a little bit snarky. And I'm mixing up some neuroscientific research and making it palatable. I'm mixing up some NLP. I'm mixing up some scientific stuff. I'm mixing up a lot of funny dialogues, and I've broken it down so that people can follow the brain process of how choice and change happen. Most other books talk about the what to and the why to. I have Asperger's, and my brain is able to break things apart in a way that other brains don't seem to be able to. It makes me a wonderful business consultant and a real pain in the ass friend, I must say.
Well, I think it lets you look at the world in a different way and be more objective about it.
Sometimes I'm more objective, but what happens is, and sometimes I'm like anybody else and I just get in trouble and say the wrong thing, but I hear things differently. I hear things in systems. Mm-hmm. So when the head of commercial banking called me from a major bank and said, can you put buying facilitation into our software that our techies are creating now? I didn't take that as a sales call. I immediately think of the meta system, and I heard him say that his tech guys were going to use my material, and I know that there's no way they can if they weren't trained by me, because I only have pieces of it available outside of my training programs. So instead of saying, oh yeah, let me come out there, let me discuss your needs, and what I said to him was, yeah, I can do that, but what's stopping your tech guys from wanting to do it on their own without me?
I like that way you're thinking about it.
Yeah, but then he said, well, they're using your books, and they're trying to do it on their own from your books. Well, I know that there's big chunks missing in the books in terms of the how. So I said to him, so how would your buying decision team know that working with me directly would give them a different capability than if they worked with the tech guys using my books? Because that's the question. The sales model is based on solution placement and forgets that it needs to manage all the decision issues that happen to get the buy-in to move forward. So I taught him how to put together a buying decision team and so forth, but I was listening differently. I was listening for the meta systems. I wasn't listening for the way I was trained at Merrill Lynch, which trained me how to listen for need.
Okay, definitely. Well, let's get into the nitty-gritty, and let's get in talking about how your marketing, did you really say what I think I heard?
Well, remember that I haven't finished writing it yet, Kevin.
Well, I know, but I think I wanted to go in to sort of talk about your Kickstarter campaign that you
did. Oh, yay. Thank you. Isn't Kickstarter wonderful?
I absolutely love
them. I love what they're doing. I love that they're making it possible for small creative projects like mine to get funded. And it's such a collaborative process. I spent as much time creating my promos, my promotions, as I did writing the text, to make sure that it was a collaboration all the way through. What I realized was, because this book was so new, such new thinking, that I wanted to involve as many people as possible. So not only am I going to write 24/7 till the end of the year so I can get the book out by the end of 2014, I also am inviting writers to play with me, to send me dialogues, to have conference calls on the book, to have a muse that talks with me through each chapter, So I'm making my writing process available as a collaborative process as well. Well, so that's another way that I can give back. I really want to make a difference. As I'm retiring and I have this wonderful capability of breaking things down, I think listening is one of the primary foundational skills of how we live together, how we serve each other, how we do business, doctors and patients. I mean, if your kid is coming home at 2 o'clock in the morning and he's supposed to be home by 10, give him a copy of the book. You know, maybe he's not hearing you and maybe you're not hearing him. Doctors and patients don't hear each other. So I'm using Kickstarter as a way to fund the project, to bring in collaboration and get the book out by 2014.
Well, I love that you're getting on there. Something that I've interviewed a lot of different writers, and usually writers don't like to be bothered when they're writing, and you're inviting other writers to come and actually collaborate with you and write with you. So how does that work?
Well, the reality is that when I sit down to write, my friends will tell you they feed me and they remind me to take a shower occasionally, because you need unbroken time to get into it. I have sort of a song with every one of my books, and if there's one word on a page that's off, the song doesn't sing. So I need that absolute time alone that's undisturbed. But my plan is to have people talk with me before I start writing and knock around some ideas beforehand.
Okay.
And that way I can take those ideas and incorporate them into what I'm already thinking and figure out how to expand it. Then when I'm done with the chapter, send it to them and then brainstorm again with the next chapter. Writing is a very unusual, crazy thing to do, I have to tell you.
It definitely is. I've tried to do it before, and it's a lot harder than it looks.
You know what it is? It's just that it's a process. Because if I take something out of chapter 2 that looks like it belongs in chapter 7, then I have to rewrite all of chapter 1. Then I have to redo my whole outline. And that taking one thing out might take 6 hours to fix.
Definitely.
But it's fun. It's very creative, and I feel juicy.
Well, I know. I really can't wait. I mean, you've already written 9 books before, which that's very commendable.
One of them was the New York Times bestseller, Kevin. That one I'm really proud of, too.
We'll just shout out the name real fast for everyone so they can go and buy that one, too.
Selling with Integrity. But the one that people want that I'm really proudest of is called Dirty Little Secrets, Where Buyers Can't Buy and Sellers Can't Sell. And I've broken down the whole process of the buying decision process and the buying decision path of all the things that happen behind the scenes that sales doesn't handle. Sales handles solution placement and it focuses on need, but it doesn't handle the relationship problems going on between marketing and sales and the tech guys mm-hmm. who don't want to help out with anything. It handles the back end in a different way that's not sales. And it's used with sales. And so Dirty Little Secrets is really terrific. And I'm assuming that my new book is going to be just as good. With Kickstarter allowing me to sit for 6 months mm-hmm. and having people work with me in creating, I think I'm going to have a fantastic book. And I'm looking forward. And I'm just so pleased that Kickstarter is alive and well. and able to, I've just gone live, by the way. I've just gone live with my Kickstarter campaign.
It is live. People need to go out there and check it out.
So people go on to Kickstarter and look up Sharon Drew Morgan. It's called, my Kickstarter campaign is called The Name of the Book, Did You Really Say What I Think I Heard?
All right. Well, everyone go out there, go to Kickstarter, check it out.
Great promotions.
There's amazing promotions. These are some of the coolest I've seen, and I'm a big Kickstarter fan. So why don't you just go through a couple of the main really awesome ones?
One of them, I have a book called Somebody Makes a Difference that I wrote many years ago with cartoon characters and that was out of print, and I just found a box with 75 of them or 70 of them, and I'm offering that out of print one. I'm offering a conference call to writers to help them, so we all talk about book publishing and virtual tours and how to choose a format to get the book out. Do you want an ebook? Do you want a publisher? So I've invited people to do that. I can come out to your company and design a training program either for buying facilitation or to help everyone communicate and collaborate. I can have coaching calls with you so I can help you or your family work through either listening problems or sales problems. I'm making myself available in as many. Oh, and I'm having a big party here in Austin for a book launch. And I'm actually offering a buying facilitation public training program just for Kickstarter people.
Awesome.
So I've tried to make myself as available as I could in every way possible. I have desk reference guides so that you can keep it on your desk and know whether you're really listening to the other person or not. The problem is we only hear according to our beliefs, and we interpret everything. So if somebody has a different set of beliefs, they're sending something in a totally different way with a different meaning than the way we're hearing it. And it doesn't take long before we get out of sync. We don't even realize it until it's too late. So I have desk reference guides. I think I have something for everyone.
Well, that sounds absolutely amazing. How can our listeners, other than they can go to the Kickstarter, help you fund the book, be part of it, collaborate with it, but how do they reach out to you and learn more about you? Because you have so many different resources that can help everyone with many aspects of their life.
I try. Thank you. With my strange brain, I'm blessed to be able to offer things to people that I feel so happy that I can do. If they go to my blog, SharonDrewMorgan.com, I've got all kinds of interesting things on sales and systems and buying facilitation. If they go to Facilitating Buy-In, I've got podcasts about change and resistance and bias. I do a lot of work with change management and resistance and how to make sure people buy into a project and know how to work it together and decision sciences. So that's facilitatingbuyin.com.
Okay.
And if they go to dirtylittlesecretsbook.com, they can read a couple of chapters of Dirty Little Secrets. On my Kickstarter front page, there's actually a link to an article with excerpts from the new book, if they want to read that.
Well, Sharon Drew, thank you so much for coming on Audio Dust Jacket, and we were thrilled that you launched your Kickstarter while on the show. That's awesome.
Well, everybody, come to the Kickstarter and see what promotion you like, and help fund me, and send it to your friends, and let's do this thing. Let's do this thing, and let's make a difference. And thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. You're an inspiration. This is Kevin Finn for Sharon Drew Morgan and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Audio Dust Jacket.